Good evening. It's really fun for us to be here. This is the first time we're in the fall, in the States in the fall, and it's pretty special for us to be able to come to this conference. We've tracked the fact that you have these conferences for all the years that we've been in Italy, so it's been a delight for us to be here tonight. Thank you for the meal, for those that prepared it. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing to think how much you have meant to our family. We've been on the field supported by Reston for 23 years, and for all those years, our kids have received the Christmas packages. And I think I just spoke to someone this today. People are sending to our kids that has made them feel so special. So now they're at college, and you've brought them up well. They love the Lord, and they're delighted to be a part of the church in America and in Italy as well. We're thankful for the Sunday school kids that wrote us letters to tell us to tell people about Jesus. I love their theology is awesome. Just tell people about Jesus. And we're thankful to the missions committee who, when we've come back to Virginia, we haven't oftentimes been here on weekends, but we met with the committee that's offered us so much support and so much interest. We're thankful for that. Tonight, I want to share some of the things that have been going on in Italy with you, but I want you to think of this word. Mission improbable, the church unstoppable. So we went to Italy 23 years ago. We were sent as missionaries, so as long as there's a sender and there's a goer, there's the missions. And we went, and we have been working in the city of Milan, Italy. 3 million people, glad to be there. God says, go to all the nations, and Italy is one of those nations. I often think, you know, reach the world, Italy's important. Well, so is everybody else, but I can only go to one. So we went to Italy. We're in Italy where we teach others. We want to include others to walk with Jesus as we do. Jesus sent his disciples. He said, go make disciples of all nations. He told them, those 12 guys. And it was interesting. He had so much faith in them that they actually took the message, the mission, and actually went out and did it. And he viewed his followers as faithful and reliable. And it's only with the power of the Holy Spirit that we go forward in doing that. So our adventure began, and we had an adventure. It's been an adventure. We had the privilege of going there and learning a language. It was fun for me every day to acquire another tool to use in conversing with people. Fun, discouraging, delightful. Language acquisition is something else. But after that, we joined the Fiores, who have been also with your church for so long. The Fiores are great to work with, awesome leaders. So we started in their church in Corsolodi, and it was fun to see the church grow, and it just really grew and grew and grew. And then eventually led to a time when Reston sent a team to help us build the modifications on our new building there. That was a really awesome time. And then from that moment, when the church in Milan decided, you know what, it's not just right that we all have a chair. We got to think beyond that. And from that came forward the idea to start another church. And the elders from the church where Sam and Joan work commissioned Nina and I and some other families to go to an area outside of Milan to start a church we call Punto Luce. It was quite fun. It is quite fun. We work there, we share the gospel, and we're eager to see that that group, which had a place to meet, filled up the seats. The seats began to fill in, and it wasn't long before Martina came. Martina was a woman who came to church not for her own interest. Just be careful about this. She came to accompany somebody else that was seeking the Lord. So, like, it's safe for her. I'm just keeping her company. Well, the woman that she kept company eventually said, I'm not interested in Jesus. But Martina kept asking questions. And Martina entered into Bible study, and it was so fun to see this person, as she learned more and more about who God was, be like amazed by him. She had had a difficult childhood, and through that difficulty, struggles in her adolescence, she went to counseling. She went to psychological therapy. And because of that experience, she thought, well, maybe I'll become a therapist myself to help people because they helped me. And so for 20 years, she's had a PhD in psychoanalysis. So I have to be really careful when I talk to her that she doesn't like figure me out or something. But for 20 years, she's been trying to help people, but she's had the question, there's got to be something more to the human nature. There's something else that I'm not dealing with. And in her search, she came to find God is the key, the spirit of man that is dead without Christ. And so Martina came, said to the Lord, and now fills the chair, and now we're too full in our church. So we're eager to look for a bigger place. We've been looking and looking and praying, And our missions committee report, every year we say, what's our major goal? Find a new place, you know. And this year, things started to change. So we found a place not too far from us. It was vacant. Oh, I went to talk to the owner. The negotiations seemed like they're coming together. And it seemed like finally a move to a larger building was imminent for us. Only to find opposition. We were looking good, and then came the barriers. The barriers came in the form of our mafioso-type landlord, where we were renting from. He said, you absolutely can't leave our building. What, am I under hostage to be in your building? Do I have to rent from you? He said, you owe me more money. You can't leave. I'm going to sue you for more money. And he actually called the landlord of the new place and said, don't rent to them. They can't leave. Like, what is this business, interfering in our affairs? But he created agony for us. He said, I am not receiving the keys when you leave, so you'll be liable to our, his space for rent and whatever forever. And I was like, ah, can't believe this. So we are in that place where opposition comes. Now, you guys have followed missionaries for a while. Even our friend from Chad says, missions is full of obstacles, right? Do people have trouble out there? Yes, I think so. So we had a decision to make. Do we just say, okay, fine, we'll stay in our old place, or do we push ahead and make a change for the better, for a more effective church? Well, I'm thankful for the Bible. We can always go to the Bible. The Bible encourages us. The Bible helps us. The Bible gives us ideas that will move us forward. And I want us to talk about Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 is a great chapter because we have Abraham in a great position in life. He is in his retirement years. Social Security checks coming in well. He's living in his tent. He's got a child. You know, he's got Isaac. Things are just tops. So God had made promises with Isaac, with Abraham. You'll have a land and you'll have an heir. Okay, great. He has both of those. He's set. He's just going to put up his feet and cruise on into the finish. Well, he remembered one thing. He remembered the fact that God said that his heir, his descendants, would be a blessing to all the families of the world. And he knew that Isaac, all by himself, wasn't blessing the whole world. So he knew that Isaac needed a wife. Well, this means Isaac needs a wife to have more children, and then he'll bless the world. So what does he do? He says, the Canaanites are not fit for a wife for my child. So he took his servant, and he said to his servant, promise me that you will carry out this mission. Oh, we have two people here. We have Abraham, a sender, and we have the servant, a goer, a missionary, right? So we have these two people. And Abraham says to him, go out to the land where I came from and pick up a girl and bring her back. Now, that probably doesn't sound so good in the modern context. Right? He actually, his technique was bring her gold bracelets and a big ring for her nose. That'll win her over. So actually, the plan worked. He went there to the Ur of Chaldeans, and Rebekah says, yes, I'll come live with a stranger in a desert with lots of sheep around. And so the story goes that Abraham finds a wife for his children. But there's one part of that conversation that I find interesting. At the very beginning, the servant realized how improbable that mission is. Why would this girl ever say yes to come with me, who she's never heard of, and leave her mother, who she'll never see again, and go to somewhere which she's never heard of either? And why would anybody ever say yes to that? There was just no reason to that. So he asks Abraham, he says, Abraham, what if the girl doesn't come with me? Shall I take Isaac back there? Basically saying, if I can't succeed completely, what if I succeed halfway? What if I compromise a little bit and we'll just have Isaac live with that girl and her family? Most missionary efforts have some sort of trouble. Most missionary efforts go forward, the mission improbable, and then something happens. We have enjoyed sharing the gospel with people in all different venues. Typically, meeting someone for coffee is a nice way to do it in Italy. Go to the cafe, chat for a little while, drink some coffee, and then share the gospel. Well, I got a phone call from a man that I knew. He said, Hey, it's been 5 years since I've seen him. He says, hey, I'm fine. Hey, let's get together. Let's talk a little bit about God. Oh, all right, great. So I suggest the usual thing, meet at the coffee bar. No, come to my house. Why? No, come to my house. All right, so I go to his house. So over there, he's chatting, telling me all the details of his life. At a certain point, he reveals some decisions that he made that are quite like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you did that. And I said to him, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to do what he says. If you love Jesus, you obey his commandments. With that, everything went crazy. I've never seen so much wrath come out of a person in my entire life. I was in his house, and this man who I was conversing with became a roaring beast. His swearing was inconceivable. The things he said, the accusations he poured against me were horrible. And finally he said, I'm leaving. I am not staying here, Marcello. I am going. And as I walked to the door, he jumped in front of the door and locked the door and grabbed the keys. In Italy, we have deadbolts on all the doors, and you can't open them to get out. You can't get out without the keys. We don't have fires there, so it's not an issue. But I couldn't get out of the house. And he's still yelling. He runs out of the kitchen and grabs a big knife and comes at me with his knife. And he throws it in my face and continues on. Now, here I'm calmly negotiating for my release. But he's 300 pounds heavier than I am and quite big. And I just thought, I probably can't go the force route on this one. So I kept talking. He forced me in a chair. He got a glass. He shattered. He said, I'm going to cut you to pieces and make you bleed. I know where you live. I know your family. I could kill you. And his hatred was quite personal and quite heavy. And after talking, I finally just said, Lord, I don't know what else to say. I sat there quietly. I picked up my Bible. And after an hour of this, when I grabbed the Bible, it was as if Satan knew I can't stand up against the Word of God. And he just opened the door and yelled, get out! And I followed that instruction quite quickly, jumped the fence and was gone. Trouble is not a good reason to turn back. We'll have opposition, but we don't turn back. What did Abraham say to his servant? If the girl won't come, what shall I do? Abraham says, not on your life, take him there. The promise is that he lives here. Don't even think about it. Beware lest you take my son back there. God made a covenant for a land and a heir. Two things in this spot. It can't be anywhere else. We can't turn back. My leaders and I, what were we to do with the church building? Were we to just cave in, or we should accept the rent or not accept the rent? We had a debate what we should do with this man who was threatening to sue us. Would the cruelty of our landlord inhibit the growth of our church? We said, because Abraham told us not to go back, we said, we won't go back either. We weren't going to go back. We were absolutely certain that we should go forward to a larger building to give our church more tools to reach other people. So we signed the rental contract in the face of much opposition, and we're very glad about that. Now, Abraham, when he said that, don't take my son back, he was adamant about it. And he said it because he knew two things. He knew that God had made the promise. Okay, when God promises something, Abraham was at a point in his life when he knew that that promise was sufficient. There was no reason to doubt the promise. It had to be through a descendant of Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed. And it was going to be in that land. Abraham also knew something else. He knew his God. He had had all those encounters with his God over his years. It's been like 40 years now he's been talking to God. He's made some mistakes, but he knows his God now. He knows his God will be able to make mission improbable possible. He says to his servant, don't worry, go try that strange question to a strange girl, and you know what? The angel of the Lord will go before you. In a certain way, I believe that Abraham knew Jesus could pick a wife for Isaac. And we know the story. He does. He does. Knowing God makes a difference. Knowing God makes a difference in what we do and how we do it. Do you know the one who can make it happen in your life? Do you know him that well? That you can be certain that in the face of opposition and trials, you can go ahead? It's amazing. I've been witnessing to a number of Muslims in our neighborhood. And the fact that we have a God that is knowable, that actually came down to earth, that wants to be with us, wants us to know him, is amazing. They do not have that description of their God. So we're blessed. We're blessed to be the people of a knowable God. So in Italy, in San Giuliano is the name of our town, our little church plant of Punto Luce. We're so excited. We're a church that believes in Jesus. We believe in the promises he made when he says, I will build my church. I will gather my people from among the nations. So we look to God. We look to Jesus. And this fall, as we moved into our new building, there was great rejoicing in the church. So there's a hope for the future. Abraham gave a mission, the servant went, and God brought success. Abraham prayed for success for his servant. He prayed that there would be a wife at the end of that trip for him. He trusted in a supernatural God, trusted in a God that would do amazing things for him. The servant, when he explained to Laban, that's the cousin, nephew of Abraham, he said, you know what? Abraham sent me here because his God has shown him loving kindness. Now, we have experienced the loving kindness of God in our church. Nina's going to share to you one example of that.
One of the things that we love, in fact, as Michael is saying, is seeing how God works over time and as we follow. And we want you to hear the story of a dear woman named Anna who had heard about the Lord many, many years ago, and then, but was not walking with him. And when we opened up the church of Punto Luce in San Giuliano, then she began coming again and sorted her life out and began to grow and began to tell her friends about the Lord in her neighborhood, which is the neighborhood of where our church is. And, for about the last 5 years, she has been fervently witnessing to her dear friends, Virginia and Fabrizio and Christina. And about 2 years ago, she said, okay, Virginia, I've told you this story again and again and again. And I've invited you to meet Jesus, but now I've really told you all I can tell you. It's time for you to make your decision. So we meet on Sunday at 6:00. Come to church if you'd like to know more about the Lord or follow him. Well, a week later, Virginia and Fabrizio did come. They came to church, and this 82-year-old woman, for the first time in her life, was with believers in Jesus who know him personally. And she stood in the church, and as we were up in the front singing, I could just see her face, and she was just crying as the tears poured down her face. And she said, I've never heard anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. And she began coming to Ladies Bible Study, and Fabrizio and her asked Michael if he would come and study with them at their house. And after about 3 weeks, Fabrizio and Virginia placed their trust in Jesus. And it was an amazing thing in Bible study as we sat around the table with the ladies, and Martina was talking about how exciting it has been for her to know the Lord and be able to pray for her patients and talk to them with a different perspective. And then Martina said, oh, you're so right. It's such an amazing thing. Fabrizio, her son, has had chest pain for so many years because of his deep pain from his childhood. They had a very difficult home situation before her husband passed away some years ago. And she said, it's the most amazing thing. From that moment that Michael said that prayer with him, the pain just flew out of his chest, and he's happy and he's well. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly a testimony of what the Lord does in the lives of people and gives hope. And now they look to the future with such a different hope, with a different joy. And every couple of weeks, Michael gives us in our church what he calls our 7-day challenge. And he has piles of Gospels of John at the back of the church. And he tells everybody, take 7 and give 1 away every day to somebody and pray for them. And the whole church does it. And Virginia takes about 50. And she tries to give away 7 every day. And she just is so overwhelmed with her hope in the Lord. And that's an amazing thing for us to see God doing.
So God was showing his loving kindness to us in that sense. The servant also mentioned that the Lord guided him to the right woman, the right girl at the well. It is amazing to be guided by the Lord in specific timing. So as we were moving, we had a wonderful move, you know, the logistics were really difficult. We moved from, the address was Via Montenegro 1A to 1C. Nina counted out, it's 20 steps. So our moving truck was actually lots of people moving our chairs down the road. So it's pretty fun. And one day, as the Lord guided us, we chose today, or whatever that day was, to take down our sign off the front of the building and move it over two doors to the other spot. Okay. So as we're taking it down, we were noted. It was noticed by one girl. Now, we go to the park across the street from the church and do park evangelism, kids club, we call it. And we gather the kids and we play games with them and jump rope. I learned to double dutch. I'm 49 years old and who can double dutch? I mean, that's pretty hard. I did it 3 times. That's it. So we play games with the kids and we get them around. We sit them down on a green carpet that we have. We have Bible story, craft snack. And Alexandra has been coming to our kids club for a number of years and she loves it. Last time we went, she ran up and kind of scolded one of our people from our church. Where have you been? It's been a whole year I've been waiting for you to come. So the day the Lord guided us to change our sign was the day that she was in the park and she ran up to us and she said, "What are you doing? Are you leaving?" This little girl is not allowed to come to church or to Sunday school. She wants to go to Sunday school with Nina. She can't come because her parents won't let her. And when she saw us taking our sign down, she was heartbroken. That moment that God guided us to be there to tell her, "Alexandra, don't worry. We're moving right over there. Come see what we'll be, and we're not leaving." I don't know if we have to wait till she's 18 before she can come, but it was fun to see the Lord guide us in that moment to be there at the right time. God also spoke, the servant also spoke of walking with God. As we walk with God, there's so much joy. In our church, we've enjoyed memorizing large passages of Scripture together. And believe it or not, Virginia, or the 82-year-old Virginia, is memorization partners with 12-year-old Enrico. And they memorize verses together. So we've memorized Psalm 100. You know, it's wonderful. You know, mandate grideri gioia abitanti di tutta la terra. So fun to say that as you experience life walking with God. So we walk ahead, and as our church has moved to a new building, we just feel like God is moving us forward. Have there been obstacles along the way? Yes. Is God working? Yes. Are we going forward? Yes. Making disciples is not easy. It's not an easy task. There's tons of challenges, and I'm sure the missions committee, when they interview the missionaries, they do so lovingly, must hear all sorts of difficulties. But it's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth doing it. And I want to hang on to this verse for myself. This is fantastic. So I'm reading this to me. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Isn't that great to know that no matter how much effort we put into it, it's not in vain. God is working. It's tremendous. So here we have the story of a church in Italy and Abraham and his servant, senders and sent, people that go and people that send them on their way. But in the end, who gave success to Abraham's servant? It was God. God did that amazing thing to have that girl say yes. And we are excited to say God is giving success. In Italy, the church is growing. It's fantastic. The Fiores will say the same thing. People are coming to know the Lord. The church is at least doubled in Milan, the size of Milan. The church in Milan in the last 20, 25 years. It's exciting to see. Opposition, absolutely. Troubles, absolutely. But it's going forward. So here we are today. And I thank you as Rest of Bible Church, as a church that has been so active in sending. We've enjoyed your teams that have come to us. It's been fun to see how you're sending people. And as some of you are also going. So it's the question of, what role will you have? What role should we have? Shall I be a sender? Shall I be a goer? Maybe at different stages of life to be one or the other or both. But don't ever give up. We have to stay the course to the very end. And God will do a great work. God will do so. The mission, is it improbable? Absolutely. Why would someone listen to me in Italy and change their whole perspective on life. Is it possible? Absolutely. In Christ, all things are possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you have shown us in Scripture something that doesn't ever get erased. It's endured through time, that Abraham asked his servant to do something, and you made it possible. And today, the church asks some of its members to do something, and you make it possible. And we're thankful for that. Pray for Chad. Pray for this man that sits on the rug in the desert with these men. We pray that many of them will accept you as their Savior, that they will live with the living water in their heart. And Lord, we just are grateful that we can be united in you today with this thought in mind. How can we reach out beyond our borders, beyond our circle of influence, beyond what's comfortable, into a world that needs Christ, that needs salvation? And we pray that our efforts will not be in vain and that you will bring success, Lord, wherever we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.